Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
I just want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the room. We often have a lot of special memories of our fathers. I know everyone's circumstances are different, but the moments of learning things, of doing things together, and becoming a father, being a dad, has been an even more special thing for me. Those moments you get to spend with your kids and see them grow. Sophie's sitting here on the front row, can hardly believe it. But we learn things. We learn things from our fathers. Because fathers are human, we learn positive things, and sometimes we learn negative things. Some of us have learned how love and protection can make us feel safe. Some of us may have learned about abandonment. Some of us, because our fathers are estranged from us, or we lost them from death, have learned how painful life can be through those things. Many times from a father, we learn what marriage looks like. We learn what that partnership is, the ups and downs of it. Many times we learn some of the key truths in life from our fathers. Other times we learn a long chain of things not to do. We can learn positives and negatives, but that is a special relationship. Fathers are never perfect. I can speak from experience. But fathers always leave a legacy of some kind. For good or bad, we are shaped by the lives that came before us. We're shaped by our family, those that care for us, those we look to as we grow. So I just encourage you to think this morning, what are your most vivid memories of your father? If you didn't know your father, who was it that impacted your life in that way? And as you think about those things, then think about what is the legacy that you want to leave for the next generation. If you can imprint yourself on someone as they grow, what is it that you would like them to inherit from you? And I feel like if we want to focus on leaving a legacy, what better place to start than with the legacy that Jesus left for us as our model, as our anchor of faith, as the one who is our Savior, who redeems us. So I'd like to look at Philippians chapter 2 this morning. So if you have a Bible, you can follow along. Otherwise, we'll put a couple verses at a time up on the screen. In Philippians 2, this is one of those books that Paul, one of the great leaders among the church, planting churches throughout the Mediterranean world, he wrote then to these churches that he ministered to because he would be gone. He would voyage around, and so he would write these letters. This was written to the city of Philippi, to the church there. That's why it's called Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Now, you'll see in a moment why I say this is the legacy that Jesus left us. Certainly, though, this verse speaks to the character of Christ. But Paul is beginning here by telling us the importance of those around us. And a few years ago, when we spoke on this exact verse, I shared the idea of a bride at the wedding. You know, she's the most important person. It's easy to realize that you're not as important as the bride in that situation. It's less easy in other situations to value others above yourself is important. And if we live that way, then we can treat people with honor. We can treat people with the kind of grace that we would want to receive. I'd like you to think this morning about how you value and how you care for your most precious possessions. You know, you may have some of you may collect things, and you may have one piece, one item that you've collected, and it's just precious to you. Perhaps it's very valuable. Perhaps it's just sentimental and special to you. The way we treat things, the way we package them, the way we maybe set them in a place where they'll be safe and they won't be broken. We can live that way with other people when we value them above ourselves. We can honor them in a way that recognizes how precious they are. That's what Paul is trying to do, is get us to take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes first on those that are around us. So he continues in verse 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. I'll just ask an honest question for all of us. How often do you spend your day focusing on what will help someone else, or even joining in their interests and their conversation topics or activities? You know, much of our life is focused on our needs and our desires. We have selfish nature. That's the way we're born. But as we grow and as we develop a loving character, then we begin to shift more towards the needs of others. So just ask yourself that. As you go through your day, think of a typical day and think about how much time you spend focused on what will help the people around you. Paul is challenging us to this. Don't look to what you need or what you desire, but look to the interests of others. It could be as simple as listening and following a line of conversation that perhaps doesn't particularly interest you, but you can tell that your friend or your loved one is really enjoying. So you spend that time with them in that moment, sharing that thing. Sometimes our interests are not shared, but we invest in what is important to those around us. You can find simple ways. It may be in serving someone, in providing the things that they need or that would make them happy. Paul continues in verse 5. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So here we go to the legacy that Christ leaves for us. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. That's a very humbling verse all by itself. The idea that Jesus, being God in the flesh, did not consider this something to be used to his own advantage. He came to give his life, to give his ministry, to give his time away, to touch the lives of those around us, and ultimately to die, to pay the price for the sin of humanity. And when we consider sometimes our selfish desires and the way they guide us, let us be reminded that even Jesus Christ came to serve others and to make his life a tool to bless the world, to touch you and I in a way that only he could. Paul continues in verse 7, rather, speaking about Jesus, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. I would like us to consider today, how can we humble ourselves to put others first. How can we humble ourselves to leave a legacy? And there's two obvious ways that happens, whether you're a father or whether you're just a human being. These are areas in life where you can leave a legacy by humbling yourself and putting the needs of others first. And one area that becomes very clear in our lives is money. The resources that we have, the things that we have at our disposal. And one of my favorite verses, this is from another letter that Paul wrote to his kind of spiritual son, Timothy. This is one of my favorite passages that speaks to us about our belongings, because we are incredibly blessed. We are blessed in ways that go beyond imagine. I was looking at some statistics, and they were stated in the terms of U.S. dollars. But, 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. And it's hard for us here in France to imagine that. But it just reminds us how blessed we are when it comes to material things. The poorest among us is rich compared to most of the world. And so it's important for us to consider, since we have been blessed in such an incredible way, how can we put the needs of others first? How can we leave a legacy for our sons and daughters, for the people that are in our lives that look to us, a legacy that says, this is how you model faithfulness as a Christian with your money, with everything you have, with your possessions? So I'd like to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll look at three verses there, starting in verse 17. And again, this is Paul, who's at this point a wise old man. He's planted churches all over the Mediterranean world, and he's speaking to this young pastor, Timothy, and trying to help him in leading the church where he is. He says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Okay, let's stop and look at that passage for a minute, because there's so much there, and I don't want us to miss it. When we see that Paul says, those that are rich in this present world should not be arrogant. One, because everything we have comes from God. Everything we have is a blessing from God. Perhaps he's given us the skill, or he's given us the opportunities to earn great wealth. Perhaps it's been passed on to us. Perhaps, like I mentioned earlier, just by the fact of where we live or where we were born, we tend to have more than others in the world. So we shouldn't be arrogant. And then Paul says this, don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. And isn't that true? We see in our world all the time the stories of the rise and fall of financiers, people investing, people running their own companies perhaps, and they could be very wealthy, but often that wealth is on paper and it can suddenly crash and go away through all kinds of circumstances that we read about in our world. Wealth is uncertain. Wealth can be taken from us. Wealth is not our soul. It's not who we are. It is what we've been given. So Paul is saying, tell people, don't put their hope in that, but put their hope in God. And then this last phrase, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, we often observe that God provides our needs. God will provide for us. But here Paul takes it a step further and he says, God provides us things for our enjoyment. He wants to bless us. He has given us many times more than we need. And what a blessing that is. But it comes with responsibility. It's like a trust that has been left behind. And God gives it to us. And he says, care for this. We've often read teachings of Jesus. We just finished with the parables, and we often see how Jesus shows that we are stewards of what God has given us, and we need to be faithful in those things. But let's continue in this passage. Verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. Not rich in what they have, but rich in what they do. Good deeds that make a difference to people around us. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. You know, that's the moment when we tell the truth about our money, is whether we're willing to share or not. I wrote a master's thesis in seminary about the view of money that is found in the Bible, specifically in the book of Luke, in the book of Acts. And, you know, one of my summary statements was that God often blesses us with much, but we have to hold on to it very loosely. We have to hold on. We have to hold it with open hands, because it's not just for us. It's for the mission of God in our world. And when we find that we are not willing to share, suddenly we realize that we don't view what we have as a God's trust to us. Instead, we view it as our own, something to protect, something to fear the loss of that. We are putting our trust in riches rather than putting our trust in God. Because if God commands us to share, then doesn't God have a plan to not only bless others, but to bless us through that sharing? If we trust Him, then we'll hold everything we have with open hands, saying, God, this is yours. Open my eyes and show me the opportunities to make a difference with what you've given me. Verse 19, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. We live a life here in this moment, and we have the opportunity to leave a legacy, to make a difference in those lives. Fathers in our children, each of us in our friends and family and our coworkers, those that share our lives, we have the opportunity to leave a legacy in this life. That's what makes this life important, is the way we impact the lives of others. But we should not be fooled for a moment to think that this is really life, that this is the end and the essence of our purpose, because we are purposed for eternity. We are purposed for a life that is with God and never ends beyond this world. So if we lay up for ourselves treasures as a firm foundation for the coming age, then we have understood that what we have is temporary and is designed for acts of kindness and goodness to others, so that then we can take hold of that eternal life. We can take hold of the idea that we exist to serve God. We exist to worship Him, to bring glory to Him. That brings us to the reality of what life really means and what its purpose is. What we experience here is just temporary. So let's leverage everything we have temporarily to make an eternal difference, to make great gains, treasure in heaven, as the Bible says. So let me just share with you, as a father, as a mother, as someone who has young people looking towards them, practical money lessons that you can share with your family. Just a few things. Emphasize savings. I'd ask you that question. You know, do you save? Do you teach those that are looking to you the importance of planning for the future? That's wisdom. Saving. Do you emphasize that? Do you argue about money? Many times our children, when they hear arguments about money, they become fearful. And it just trains them then to avoid that topic and not gain wisdom from money, but instead instead fear it and leave it aside and not fully engage and make wise finances a part of their life that will bless them and bless others. So perhaps as parents, when you have disagreements about money, which is inevitable, perhaps you need to think to have those conversations privately so your children, who cannot understand all the nuances of what you're going through, do not get a negative view of finances and think that always just leads to trouble, because it certainly can. But as adults, we need to share those conversations with each other and not with children that are just learning. But we'll get to that in a minute. Do you hide purchases, or do you buy on impulse? I'd encourage you to spend thoughtfully. I've shared this example before. Amanda knows that she should never send me to the store when I'm hungry, you know, because I will come out there with some crazy things that were not on the list. Those impulses that hit us, we have to be careful of that, and we have to spend our finances and use them in a way that is thoughtful and that is not impulsive. Include your family in financial decisions. When I said don't argue about money, don't fight about money in front of your kids. On the other hand, you should include the entire family in financial discussions. Here's why we're making this decision. This is why this is a better deal for us to spend our money in this way. This is why it is wise for us to make these choices. Here's why we are deciding not to purchase this thing or not to do this together because of the money that costs. Let me tell you about the value of that in savings or being used in a different way. Talking through those kind of decisions is so helpful for the next generation. And finally, are you generous? Do your children see you giving? Do your children see you holding on tightly, fearfully to what you have? Or holding with open hands and saying, we are here to bless people. We are here to make a difference and to share with people. So there's a lot that can be said about money, but it is one of the key ways that we can leave a legacy as fathers, as parents in general, as anyone who has young people looking to them. Let me mention a second area that is so important as we think about the legacy we leave here on Father's Day, and that is in marriage. I'd like to look at Ephesians chapter 5. We've got verses 21 and 22, and then verse 25. Speaking to husbands and wives, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Now let me say to you before we go any further, if when you hear that verse, it just rises up in you and you say, wait a second, that's not fair. There's a problem. There's a problem if you can't accept that and receive the truth in that and saying, how should I submit to my husband? You realize that just in the verse before, Paul has already said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But sometimes we become so concerned about not being taken advantage of, or we become so concerned about the power position in our marriage that suddenly, instead of focusing on the love relationship and on the serving relationship we should have in each other, we are back again looking to our own interests instead of the interests to others. So women in the room, I would encourage you in that if the idea of submission grates against you, I'd encourage you to examine your own heart and say, God, transform me. Where is my pride? Where is my heart in this relationship? Now I get to move to the men. So I just want an equal opportunity this morning. So husbands, in verse 25, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is the legacy we can leave behind as husbands. It's an unfortunate thing that often husbands have abused the kindness and submission, love, humility of their wives in relationships. Husbands, you will be judged. You will be judged by God for how you treat your wife. You should treat her as that most precious thing that I was talking about earlier, that most precious thing that God has given you. Paul says here, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, if you are not dying every day for your wife, then you have to examine your heart today. You have to say, where has pride taken me to where I do not love my wife to the point of laying down my life for her as the example Christ has given me? Husbands, that is the legacy that we can leave for our children, is to see a man who is strong in the Lord and is strong in who God has created him to be, enough so that he can lay himself down as a servant for his family. We are not here to be served by our families. We are here to serve for our families. We are here to protect them, to provide for them, to provide the kind of love that Jesus poured out on us. Do not abuse that. Do not let that become a legacy of brokenness in your life. Let that be a legacy that your children see and replicate, a man of honor who puts the interests of others before himself. That's what our children should see in us. And I know none of us are perfect, and you don't have to feel guilt or shame over failures, but from this day, you must lay yourself down for your wife, for your children, for your family. That is what God is calling you to do. And do not let pride stand in the way of that. But think about the legacy you can leave for your children. You know, we fall in love. We find that right person, and it's just wonderful. But we stay in love when we learn mutual submission to one another, husbands and wives, when we learn day in and day out to lay our lives down for each other. This is a legacy that our children see. Not because of a big emotional thing, because we feel those feelings of love that might have happened at the beginning of our relationship and they feel different today, and so we act differently. No, we choose each day to lay our lives down in that mutual submission. And it can get even better when we do that. You say to your wife, I would marry you again. My only regret is that we didn't get married 6 months earlier. You know, if she's not here today, you can use that line when you go home. I would marry you again, just faster this time. We have to fall in love as a decision of our heart, not as just an emotional feeling, but we have to learn mutual submission one for another. These areas of how we handle money and how we handle our marriage relationship, our legacies, our children are learning from us. We are their primary teachers in so many things. But these two areas are huge because they see right through you. They see what is happening in your life. Leave a legacy in these areas. Let me have the worship team come back and join us as I close. I'd like to ask you a couple questions today. How could you show that you value someone above yourself? How could you show that in your life today? How could you show that this week? How could you show that they are more important than you are? Think about that. I want you to think about your most important relationship and think about how you could show that person that they are more important than you, and you want to humble yourself to serve them. When you think about how you can do that, let me just ask you, what's stopping you? Why isn't that what you do every day? And I know the answer. It's the same answer I'd give: selfishness. Well, I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. But that's where we need to go. That's the road we want to follow. Laying our life down for the lives of others. So the final question I'd just ask you is, what would you do differently this week if you tried your best to show someone the love that they are looking for? All of us are looking for love. All of us are looking for people to love us the way Christ has loved us. We want that from flesh and blood people on this earth. What would you do differently this week if your main goal was to show that person the love that they are looking for? You know what it is. You know the love you're looking for. What would you do differently to show them that? Let that be our banner each day. Let that be our prayer in the morning as we go through our day. God, let me show them the love that they want so much, the love that they are desperate for. God, let me give it to them. Work through me to bless them.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.